Hello and welcome back to the Dobbies podcast. It's Daisy Payne here. I am an Instagram influencer, gardener, and this morning presenter and Dobbies ambassador. And I am thrilled to be joined today by Dobbies horticultural director, Marcus Isles. Hello, Marcus.
Hi, Daisy. Great to see you.
Great to be chatting to you. We're going to be talking today about what you can be doing in your gardens in these colder months, because although winter might not seem like an obvious time to be gardening, there's actually loads that you can do, loads you can take stock of, tidy up, get planting with, and enjoy that slightly cooler temperature outside and getting stuck in. So Marcus, you've got loads of top tips for us. With this colder weather, what can we start to be thinking about doing in the gardens?
So I think this time of year, things do start to get to look a little bit tired out in the garden. So there are tidying up jobs. We're into December now, and it's that winter period where you really want to be cutting back your herbaceous plants, getting rid of a lot of the debris that's around. Do think, though, about keeping some of the seed heads or branches and things that actually do look nice and still give you some structure in the garden over the winter months. Grasses now are so popular for late summer and autumn, and rather than chop them down this time of year, then leave them and they look wonderful on a frosty day. You'll get cobwebs and things in them and they just look really gorgeous. So don't go too crazy on tidying up.
And you said herbaceous plants there. If there's people listening to this podcast thinking, I have no idea what a herbaceous plant is, what do I cut back? What do I leave? What are your kind of like basic tips for those people who are just getting into gardening? Because this might be, you know, somebody's first winter in the garden. What can you tell us?
We very quickly fall into the trap of using technical terms. So herbaceous perennials are the sort of plants that die down to the ground each year, but then they come back the following year. So they will put on a lot of growth. So unlike bedding plants, which actually in the summer bedding plants, as soon as the frost comes, they die off and you can get rid of them completely. But then herbaceous perennials will come back next year. You may need to check in a book, etc., if you're not 100% sure, but just leave the roots there and trim back all of that growth on the top. So things like hostas that people may know, hardy geraniums, things like that, those are the things which you can just tidy up at this time of year, and then they'll be nice and safe. A little bit of mulch around the base of the plant just to keep it warm over the winter, and then next spring they'll be up and be making a lot of growth and then flowering again next summer.
So mulching is one of my favourite things to do.
It's a great term,
isn't it?
Mulching.
The word is fantastic. And again, in terms of what that actually means, Marcus, you can tell us in a second. One of the things I really love about mulching is in itself, it kind of tidies the garden up a little bit. It gives it a kind of completeness in your borders and in your kind of where you've got your plants. I think it does give a nice level of tidy. But tell us what mulching is and how we can do it.
Yeah, 100% agree. When you've mulched a bed, it looks really nice and it sort of tidies things up ready for the winter. So mulching is actually putting a layer of organic material onto the top of the soil. It really does help then. We're very much into no dig anymore. There's not all of this frantic digging up borders and turning things over, because you can do more damage than good. So mulching is the way of actually getting that organic matter into the soil to improve it. Because you leave it to the worms. The worms will come up, they'll take it down into the soil and it will improve. And it actually does protect some of the slightly tenderer roots. So it gives you that sort of insulation layer, which if we do have a really severe winter, then we'll make sure that your plants are happy over that period.
It's like having a little duvet around your plants, isn't it? And you literally, when you are putting your manure or your compost, whatever it is, around your plants, you do literally feel like you're putting them... You're making them nice and cozy for winter, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And also, don't tidy up too much. You know, some of the debris that's left, some leaves, some twigs, etc., you don't have to be too thorough, because that's all organic material anyway. So once you've put your mulch on top of that, that will rot down into the soil. So you don't have to be too frantic. I do say to people, don't be too frantic about tidying up the borders. all of that will rot down, but also some of the areas leave 100%, don't actually take away any of the debris, because we want to have somewhere for wildlife to shelter over the winter. So that's also important.
Yeah, it all builds up into a really like lovely environment for everything that lives in our gardens. It's not just about the plants, it's about so much more than that, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Getting the balance between the soil health and the plant health is such a key topic now, and people are realizing much more not to keep clearing stuff away, putting stuff into green wheelie bins. Try and keep it in your garden, because it's valuable material to be trying to work out how to recycle it, compost it, mulch it onto beds, and then it will go back into the soil and feed your plants.
That is what's wonderful about gardening. In terms of lawns, I swear my lawn is still growing, and I think I'm going to need to give it a cut, Marcus. What should I be doing?
Yeah, it's been so mild it's been a mild autumn and early part of the winter. So we have to be really careful, because we never know quite in the UK, do we, what's around the corner weather-wise. It is getting colder, and some areas have had some snow, and we've had some heavy frosts and things. So do be careful about cutting your lawn from now onwards, because when you cut the stems of the grass, and then if you add a hard frost, it can let the frost into the grass, so then you can create, you know, black patches, etc. So I would be really cautious. If we've got a definite sort of week worth of warmer weather, then a cut, but keeping the blades really, really high so that you're not cutting down too far into the grass. But if you can get away with not doing it, then it's a good excuse not to do it. You can say, I told you, it's fine, you don't need to cut your grass. The main thing to do is to take the leaves off. If you leave leaves and debris on the lawn, then of course no light getting to the grass, it can't photosynthesize, and it will start to die off. So the main thing is to get the leaves off. And then just checking, if you want to do a bit of work at this time of year on your lawn, with a lawn that's maybe not draining well, etc., then you can do some of the scarifying, taking off the moss, etc., and you can do some aeration to allow the water to drain through, and a bit of a top dress. But usually most people save that for a sort of spring job. But if you want to do a bit now, keep warm in the garden on a chilly day, then it's a good time to be doing that as well.
And aeration, Marcus, what is that, and how might I be able to do that? Because again, I guess that's something that if you're new to gardening, it sounds good. It sounds like the sort of thing you should do, but what actually does it involve? What tools do I need?
That sounds very healthy, doesn't it? Oh, I'm being all aerated.
It does.
So to aerate your lawn, it's basically, in a lot of lawns that get used a lot, maybe you've got kids running around, dogs, etc., it can become compacted, and then it just gets more and more solid, and then the nicer grasses find it very difficult to grow. The weeds and moss, etc., love it, and then you don't get a good lawn. So allowing air into the soil is really important. It also helps with drainage as well, because you're creating passage for water to go through the lawn and drain away. So the easiest way to do it is with just an ordinary digging fork. So a decent sized fork, or a border fork if you want something smaller, and you just push it down as far as you can into the lawn, and then wiggle it around to make some holes. And then you can go back afterwards and put some top dressing on, which can be your own mix, which can be soil and sand, or we do lawn dressing, which you can then just buy and then put onto the soil, brush it into those holes, and that does a great job of improving the condition of the grass and improves that aeration which we were talking about.
Brilliant. And I generally, I've got a little dog, Ernie, who loves the garden. And I generally, you know, let him do what he wants to do in the garden over winter. But then in spring, that's when I look at kind of giving it, you know, a little bit of extra seed. Things start to warm up. You know, I have a few patches on the lawn, shall we say, that need kind of repairing. And I generally wait to spring for that. Is that, would you recommend that?
I think, yeah, it used to be a traditional thing that you could do some lawn work. It's difficult now, I think, perhaps because we get more varied weather, we get more rainfall perhaps over the winter. So it can just, all the work you put in can be a bit wasted over the winter months, and then you've got to sort of do it again in the spring. So unless you're really keen, then it's 100% fine. Leave it till the spring. You'd be talking, depending on where you are in the UK, but somewhere between February and March, then to put it in your diary. and spend a couple of weekends, not the whole weekend, but just a few hours here and there, doing some of the aeration, doing some of the top dressing, and you'll reap the rewards of that. And you can then put down your seed, of course, in March, and you can we do some seed which germinates in quite low temperatures. So even if the temperatures aren't very warm at that time, it will still germinate, and then you can improve your lawn ready for the summer.
Ready to show it off in the summer. Now, Marcus, my favourite thing to do in the garden is get planting. And I have got quite a lot of pots where things have gone over because it's gone colder. Are there things that we can do in the winter that involves planting and colourful things, all the stuff we love the other seasons for?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. People do seem to think that it's all about shut down in the garden over the winter, and it's absolutely not. There is a good range of plants that are available, fully hardy, will give you something to look at in your pots and containers, maybe more around your doorstep and your back door, etc., where you want to see them if you're not walking a long way into the garden. But there is plenty there. So we've got things like Skimmia, which is a fantastic hardy shrub with its beautiful flowers, and which look like berries at this time of year because they're really, really tight and red, and they're in clusters all the way over the plant. And then as you go into the spring, they will open up and they have the most beautiful fragrance. Now, it is an ericaceous plant, so it likes an ericaceous compost. So that's one to look out for. So we have our new ericaceous compost with Johninus, which you would need to plant it in. And then you could underplant it with other ericaceous plants like winter heathers, which we've got a fantastic collection of those that are in stores now. So that is a really nice sort of winter container. It'll take any sort of weather, wind, frost, etc., but it will be there for you over the winter to look at, and then some beautiful flowers in the spring.
I love heathers. I think they're so pretty, aren't they? There's such colour, lovely colour, like you say, around the doorstep or on the back of the patio, when just with everything else can look a little bit green and brown in the garden. It is lovely to have that little pop of colour, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And this time of year, the buds are all green because they haven't started to flower yet on quite a few varieties. But as you see those breaking open over the winter months, it's just when there's very little else that's colourful in the garden, it gives this wonderful carpet. You've got beautiful pinks, reds and whites, which make a lovely, lovely display. In a border, just check your soil to make sure that it's acid. So you need to check on that. But fantastic in pots wherever you are in the UK.
And, you know, testing soil is a good job. If you're getting into gardening, it's a good place to start. And soil testing kits are super reasonable, super cheap. And it gives you a really good guide then for the rest of your planting planning.
Yeah. And also just looking around your local area, looking in neighbours' gardens or looking into wilder areas. You know, 100% in a lot of areas in Scotland, it is ericaceous. And the passion for heathers and conifers and other ericaceous plants like rhododendrons and azaleas and things, you can see because, you know, you can see it around in the wilder areas and in people's gardens as well. So that's another way to check.
Indeed. Just look around and enjoy your surroundings. I've got a question. So it's winter. Is it too late, Marcus, to plant bulbs?
No, we're getting towards the end of the planting season, but it's fine still right the way till the end of the year, really. And if bulbs, if you do, and sometimes I've bought some and then found them in January in the greenhouse and it's like, oh, I haven't put them in the ground yet, so I need to get planting. As long as they're nice and firm and they haven't started to go off. And you'd soon tell, because when bulbs go off, they smell terrible. So as long as they're firm and they don't smell, then they'll be fine to plant. And they may flower a little bit later than ones you planted earlier, but they will still come through. So there's plenty of time. This time of year, there are some bargains to be had because we're at the end of the season. There's still a good range and selection available. And the other thing that you can do, if you're not so keen on maybe digging in borders and things at this time of year, just buy a load of pots, buy a load of bulbs, get some compost, peat free of course, and then get them planted up in those pots. And then as they start to come through in the spring, just put them into a nice sheltered area somewhere in the garden or in a cold frame. And then as they come through, make sure you label them, otherwise you're never quite sure what you've got. But then you can actually use them around the garden, put them in other terracotta pots, maybe around the door, and really spice up your early spring planting. And you could almost go out each day, as I do, and move them around, put them into different locations. When things are coming into flower, put them right by the door so that you can see them. And it's a fantastic way of using bulbs to really give you that wonderful spring colour that you're looking for when it's been such a hard winter.
I love doing that. Also, at the weekend, I popped into the shed and found some bulbs. I hadn't labelled them. So what I've got on my hands is a bulb lucky dip, where I'm not entirely sure what I've put into pots, but it'll be a nice surprise.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. Oh, that's what it was.
Who knows? Who knows what I've planted, but I can't wait. And that's kind of part of the joy of bulbs as well, isn't it? That, you know, you can almost, you just, it's such a lovely surprise in the spring. And it's so easy to do. You know, you really don't need to be a gardening expert to plant up bulbs and to enjoy them.
Yeah, and just get some, so, you know, if you wanted to put a collection of bulbs into a pot, we've got some collections which we're selling at the moment, and you can just get a pot, maybe 30 centimetres, 35 up to 40 centimetres, and then do them in layers. So put the larger bulbs towards the bottom, which are normally the daffodils and tulips, and then build it up. And as you get further to the top, put the smaller and smaller bulbs. And just keep doing it like we call it lasagna planting. So, and you just, then you can put that pot somewhere and then you'll get maybe the smaller bulbs are normally earlier flowering. So it could be really in February, you could start to see some colour coming through with snowdrops and crocuses. And then right the way through to May, even June, if you put alliums and things like that in. So it's a huge amount of pleasure that you can create just from one pot.
And who doesn't love a lasagna? That's, you know,
yeah,
always good. It's always good. It never lets you down.
Everybody's favourite.
In terms of grow your own, so I've got a little veg patch at the top of my garden. I'm also very lucky to have an allotment. What are the sorts of crops that we could be cultivating over the winter? What are some of the jobs for these months?
It's a bit more of a challenge over the winter months with veg. So broad beans can still be planted over this period, protecting them with a cloche. They will start to germinate. The benefits of doing things early is that you get earlier crops, of course, next year. So you can still plant these broad beans, of course, through into the spring, but you'll have a later crop. So if you can get things started earlier, that would be a benefit. You'd be looking at cropping in May for broad beans planting now. Then there's a tradition about autumn planting for onions. Now, again, you can plant onions right the way through the spring and get a crop. But if you want to get ahead of the game, then onions, and this applies to garlic as well. So garlic is traditionally planted on the shortest day. And then really, then you're looking at more of the green crops. So the lettuces can be grown, and they just need to be kept warm and protected over that period. So with a cloche, or if you have a greenhouse, somewhere, one of the little grow houses which we have in stores at the moment, a little heater to keep it frost free. The more warmth you can get, the quicker the crop is going to grow, and the more that you're going to get. Things like winter gem lettuce are really good and will tolerate lower temperatures, and lamb's lettuce, also known as corn salad as well, so that also will tolerate lower temperatures. So just check on the varieties when you're looking at them. Give them as much protection as possible, and then you can have some nice fresh green salad leaves over the winter months.
That's nice, isn't it? You can still do it, but the protection point is really important, and having the right kit, it kind of does all start from there, doesn't it? And in terms of going back into gardens, in terms of protecting plants, so we could be on for a white Christmas, you never know. When it comes to more protection on top of mulch, perhaps, what's your advice on that?
So, you know, mostly we want to have nice hardy plants that will look after themselves, and we don't have to put a lot of effort into keeping them alive over the winter. But there are some fantastic plants out there that are worth a bit of extra effort to make sure that they're looked after over the winter months. So some of the plants that look really hardy but can be damaged by especially cold winds, things like camellias. They are really hardy. They come from Japan, so they're used to hard winters, etc. But sometimes it gets really wet here, really cold, and then we have a really dry wind. And evergreen plants, they still lose moisture during their leaves over the winter. And a cold wind when the ground is frosty means that the plant can't replace that. The water is all frosty in the ground, so the plant can't draw it up. And then that's where you can get things browning. You get it on hedges, and conifer hedges and things like that as well. So there's only so much you can do, because you can't go around putting blankets all over your whole garden. But we do sell frost fleece, which is a lightweight material which you can wrap your plants up in. And also we have these jackets for them as well. So that's made out of the same sort of material, just easier if you've got something in a pot that you can just buy the right size jacket to throw over the top. So it's worth checking on hardiness of your different plants. Look out for things like camellias, things that are evergreen, things that are in a windy spot, if you can move it a little bit so that it's not getting the worst of the winter wind, even if it's just for a few weeks over the worst of the winter. Getting the frost fleece and getting the jackets out when needed. They don't have to be on there all the time. It's just one of those things in the evening. Check your weather app or when you're watching the news at night and say, oh, right, there's going to be a heavy frost tonight, and then get out there and do a bit of the protection. And yeah, you'll just make sure that you're not having too much damage, and the plant then can recover from the winter really quickly and be here. Camellias, of course, are holding flower buds for next spring at the moment. So therefore, yeah, if you can give it some protection, then you'll get a much better show in the early spring.
And weather watching is such an important winter gardening tip, isn't it? Because, you know, you do need to keep your eye on things. I always keep an eye and then potentially, you know, move some pots closer to the house just to make sure that they're not getting the worst of the wind, like you say, of the weather. That keeping a good watch, I think, really does, you know, mean that you're putting your garden in the best possible place for the
absolutely.
Spring.
Yeah, we had that terrible wind storm recently, and yeah. You know, to watch things being battered around in the garden. So I was running around trying to stash pots. I live on top of a hill and everything goes flying. So it was just quickly gather things together, put them into groups. And plants actually like, you know, they sort of protect each other. So putting things together in groups, even if it's just for the winter months, then they'll look after each other much better. And yeah, stops any damage, and you know, the plants will grow back much better in the spring then.
If people have got storm damage, Marcus, so for example my grasses took a bit of a hit, is there any sort of TLC we can be doing for things that might be a bit storm damaged?
Yeah, there was quite a lot of damage to trees as well, losing branches or branches snapping. My mother-in-law, she had this wonderful crab apple in the middle of her garden, which was at 45 degrees. She lives on top of a hill as well, so she was she was out there on her phone showing me pictures on FaceTime of what shall I do. And I said, look, just leave it, and she put a stake in, but just at the base to stop the roots rocking around. Luckily now the wind has gone for the moment, so sort of remedial damage. If things have rocked around, so look at the base of trees, roses, things like that. And if you need to firm with your heel, just to firm the roots back in, that would be good. If something needs a stake, then putting a stake in, just in case we have another storm, you know, the root system could be weakened and therefore you want to hold it firm. Then any pruning you can do right the way through the winter. But if you've got some damaged branches that have snapped or half snapped off, then just clean those up. Nice, good pair of secateurs. Cut through to make sure it's a nice clean cut. You don't want any jagged edges, because that's when diseases and things get settled in. And yeah, just making sure that you sort of clear up those sort of the debris and things. If you've got things like grasses that were looking wonderful and then they sort of battered to the floor, you can't really stake them back up again for the winter months, because they just won't look right. So I would just give them a nice gentle haircut, and don't go too deep. Pruning at this time of year is not about going really hard, because if we then have a hard winter, the frost can get into those stems. This applies to roses, trees, any shrubs, etc. Go light on it, maybe halfway of what you would normally expect. That cuts down the wind resistance, but then you won't get the frost going into the deep into the plant. And then in the spring, when things start to grow away again, then you can do your secondary pruning in February and March, ready for the spring season.
Some great tips there, Marcus. Thank you. And we've touched a little bit on pruning there. What should I be doing with my roses? Should I be cutting them back? Is the same apply?
Yeah, half pruning. So, you know, they have been flowering really late, so I've held off doing mine because you just feel awful. You've waited for buds and flowers
still
all
got
year.
Flower. Yeah. And they're still there. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's strange how sometimes, even, you know, right up to Christmas, you can still get flowers opening. So if you don't need to, then that's fine. You want to appreciate those flowers. But if everything has finished and it's time to deadhead, then, as I say, go down half of what you would do. So take the stems down by half. And then that just stops this wind catching the plant as much over the winter. And then in late February into March, depending on where you live, then you can start to see when the fresh new shoots come, then you can prune back to those shoots, which then gives you the nice structure for your plant ready to be flowering for next year.
Brilliant. Now, before we finish up, this is an important question, not least because if there are people in our lives that we want to get into gardening, this could help form some Christmas list ideas. But what would you say are the best or the most important tools for gardeners over the winter months?
I think if you're looking at gifting, etc., then, you know, so many people have got involved in gardening over the last year or so. Therefore, they could be just using old tools that they bought a while back, and therefore it'd be quite nice to be able to have an upgrade. And there are some fantastic, really good tools out there. So maybe a spade or a fork. Either a digging, which is the larger size, or border, which is the smaller size. Border forks and spades are now really popular because we're not going into lots of major digging. They're a lot lighter, a lot easier to use. Stainless steel is the best because it's really smooth and shiny, and therefore if you have a heavier soil, then it's easier to dig and it cleans up much easier. But a carbon one is also just as good. We stock ranges of both, so carbon steel. Then things like secateurs. I've got such a selection of secateurs that I've had from over the years, and sometimes I do a lot of testing, so I have some from different suppliers. And when you've got a decent pair of secateurs that work really well, the clasp stays open, so it's not always closing, and you can get through any size of branch that you want to get through, then that's a fantastic present for anybody, especially when we're going to be doing a lot of pruning over the autumn, winter, and into early spring. Then somebody immediately can put that to great use, and would really appreciate that, because if you have a bad pair of secateurs, it makes the job really unpleasant,
doesn't it? I think if you've got a rubbish pair, it's so disappointing when you get out there and you're trying to do your pruning. Getting a really lovely pair for Christmas.
That's on your Christmas list then, is it?
Well, let's hope there's some people listening, taking the hint. Is there anything else in terms of tools that you would recommend?
Again, you know, the most used hand tools, things like trowels and forks. The difference between the cheapest that you can get from a DIY store in comparison to a nice stainless steel, decent quality. It's something that you'd have with you all the time that you're gardening for weeding, for planting, etc. So getting a decent trowel and fork is a really essential bit of kit. Watering cans as well. And there are plenty of plastic options out there, but getting a really nice metal watering can in a really nice colour or galvanised, it becomes a friend for life that you just, you know, it looks lovely. Just I leave mine outside the back door and it just looks amazing. It's always there, nice and handy by the tap. And as much as you can water with your hose around the garden, there's always work to be done with a watering can, just topping up watering. And if you haven't got a garden, then of course there is a great range of indoor houseplant watering cans and tools, which, again, little snips and things like that, that are really useful for people that have got into gardening indoors.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Marcus. I have learnt loads from you there in terms of what we can be doing in the garden over the winter. So thank you so much for sharing all your top tips.
Thank you very much. It's been great to have a chat with you, and look forward to lots of winter gardening for everybody.
Absolutely. I'm sure everyone that's been listening, I'm sure your gardens by next spring are going to look Fabulous. So that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for listening. And, you know, be sure to visit Dobby's website, stores, and check out social medias too, where there's lots of tips and advice for your garden. So stay tuned for the next Dobby's podcast, which is coming very soon.